After a long and painful year of negotiations, officials for the city of Detroit head to court tomorrow to defend their plan to exit bankruptcy. Detroit has struggled to find a way to pay off the $18 billion it owes to various entities and individuals, including city retirees who once feared they'd lose up to a third of their pensions. City leaders are now counting on something called the grand bargain to avoid that. The retirees will accept cuts, and that has allowed nonprofits to step forward to set up a trust to protect the city's valuable art collection. But others owed money by the city are crying foul. They say that artwork, if sold, could pay them back. What will the judge say? Something has to happen. The city just again began shutting off water to residents who haven't paid bills. Sarah Swick is Detroit reporter for Here Now contributor Michigan Radio. And Sarah, could you just flesh out that grand bargain a little more for us? Who are all these players?
Sure. Well, the idea behind the grand bargain is to protect the Detroit Institute of Arts collection, which, as you mentioned, is a pretty world-class collection. It's, I think, ranked as one of the top five museums in the country. Mm-hmm. And also to protect Detroit's retirees who stood, as you mentioned, to lose up to a third of their pension before because the city says we simply don't have enough money in the pension funds to pay you back. So how this is supposed to work is that the state of Michigan, but more so some nonprofit organizations and corporations and various people have kicked in more than $800 million. And that pool of money is they're going to use to pay the retirees. Now, they will have to take some cuts, some more than others, but relatively small ones compared to what was being discussed before. And then the art collection will be transferred to a nonprofit trust where it will no longer be directly owned by the city and therefore will be protected from the city's creditors in bankruptcy. So it's sort of shifting things around and creating this new pool of money to protect the retirees. But as you mentioned, other creditors don't like it because they say, where's our money?
Well, then one of them is the bond insurer, Cincora. They're saying what?
Well, the bondholders, holders of Detroit's municipal debt, are one of the other biggest holders of Detroit's unsecured debt behind retirees. Those bondholders are not actually going to have to take the losses directly themselves because they were insured. So it's the bond insurers who are the ones who are going to have to pay out. And they don't like that. And they have been fighting it pretty hard. And they say that the grand bargain unfairly favors the retirees over the bondholders, bond insurers, and these other creditors because it sets up this pretty complex system to protect them. And they say, well, why are we going to have to take such steep losses while the retirees don't have to take them?
Well, and they're one of those saying, reopen talks and sell the artwork. Big debate about that. And a further wrinkle, the New York Times is reporting about a company called Art Capital. They make loans backed by artwork, and they've offered to make up to $3 billion in loans to the city of Detroit. That's 10 times the financing the city's considering. And in exchange, of course, they would, in effect, have the artwork as backing. And presumably the way this would work is that Art Capital would then own that artwork if the city couldn't pay back on the loans. But it's a lot of money, $3 billion. It's way more than the city's own estimators have made of the artwork because others say if the artwork is all sold at once, it would flood the market and be worth less. So there's even a debate about what the artwork is worth.
Yeah, absolutely. It gets really complicated. We have these competing valuations, a couple that were done for the city, one by Christie's Auction House, and then others that were done sort of at the behest of the bondholders. And perhaps not surprisingly, the valuations that were done by the bondholders came in a lot higher than what the city sponsored ones estimated. But we really don't know what the art is worth until it's put on the market. It's depends sort of on the whims of the market. And there's this question of whether it's so much valuable art flooding the market at once would depress prices or how much they'd pay. So we really don't know what the collection is worth.
Well, one thought that we have in looking into this story is that people should travel to Detroit and go look at this extraordinary artwork. We're now seeing, you know, huge murals by Diego Rivera, other artwork there. It's really quite something. So that word is getting out that the artwork is there. But meanwhile, the city is struggling. What is the thinking about what the judge, Judge Rhodes, will do? Will he go with the grand bargain or tell everyone to go back to the table?
Well, so we have to kind of recognize here that this bankruptcy has been going on for over a year already, and most of what's happened so far has happened behind closed doors and mediation. In terms of the grand bargain, the thinking that I've heard, and in terms of observing what I've observed over the course of the trial, is that if Judge Rhodes really objected to the grand bargain and sort of the way it was formulated, whether it might be illegal or not, we would probably know that by now. Also, I think people need to recognize that this bankruptcy is in a lot of ways a political proceeding as much as a legal one. And there's a lot of support for the grand bargain. You know, major national foundations, but especially big players here in Detroit have stepped up to contribute money. And the idea of protecting the Detroit Institute of Arts and also making sure pensioners are made pretty close to whole are popular ones. So I think that it's unlikely that the judge would undo the grand bargain entirely. There may be tweaks made to it, but it seems like it should go through in the end.
I'm sure people will be watching closely because usually it's the pensioners who come in last when these kinds of debts are resolved.
That has been the case before in other municipal bankruptcies around the country. But yeah, this sort of reverses that precedent in a way, although the grand bargain is sort of an unprecedented deal itself.
Yeah. Well, so meanwhile, you know, activists are filing for temporary restraining orders to stop these water shutoffs to Detroit residents who owe more than $150 or are behind on payments. Now, we understand that this is a campaign that had been going on for a while. It was then stopped by the same judge who's doing the bankruptcy court. It started up again. There's a lot at stake here. I can't believe these numbers. Detroit officials say there's more than $86 million owed in delinquent bills. That's $42 million from about 74,000 residential accounts and then another $26 million from about 10,000 businesses. The comparison is amazing. In 2013, the department collected something like $500,000 from delinquent accounts, but then under this big campaign, ratcheted up, it was something like $2.5 million. And it started up again. With that much money owed, what are the activists arguing?
They're arguing that the reason that so much money had been sort of allowed to accumulate in the delinquent accounts was that the city or the water department for a really long time, you know, basically was very lax and about collections. And people sort of got this idea if they were paying their water bill at all, that it was sort of the last bill in the pile of bills that they had to pay. So what these activists are really arguing is that the city needs to implement a water affordability plan so that people can pay back what they owe in a way that they can afford. The city has created various payment plan options, and there are some assistance funds available. But these activists are saying that's really not enough. Shutting off people's water is a drastic and an inhumane thing to do, and there just needs to be every effort made to make sure that people can pay their bills in a way that they can genuinely afford to.
Quite something. Sarah Swick, Detroit reporter for Michigan Radio, as that city goes to trial tomorrow to present its plan for heading out of bankruptcy to the judge there. Sarah, thanks for keeping us on top of this.
Thank you for having me.